Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Today is that somewhat odd Sunday that falls between Jesus' ascension and the day of Pentecost. It's not really Easter anymore, but it's not yet anything else. It's just in between. Imagine how strange that in-between time was for the 11 apostles of Jesus and for his early church. Jesus had ascended 40 days after Easter on a Thursday, we assume, and he had told them to wait not many days from now until when the gift of the Holy Spirit would be poured out. Not many days. They didn't know how many it would be. We know that it was 10. But there they waited in that in-between time in Jerusalem. And they weren't idle as they waited. They gathered in that upper room. It says they stayed in that upper room where they had met with Jesus on Maundy Thursday, where he had met them on Easter Sunday and the Sunday after. And they were praying during that time. Acts tells us that Mary, Jesus' mother, and the other faithful women also gathered with them there. And also the roughly 120 believers who were left in Jerusalem also gathered there in that upper room with the disciples. Again, they weren't idle. The apostles took that time, gathered with the small church that it was, hardly the multitudes that had once followed Jesus. And they chose Matthias to be the replacement for Judas, who had betrayed Jesus. Why? Because they recognized that 12 positions of apostolic authority had been assigned by Jesus, and they concluded that all 12 positions needed to be filled. So they chose a man who had been with them from the beginning. Out of a possible 2 men, Matthias became the 12th apostle, a witness to testify before the world what he and the other 11 apostles had heard and seen from Jesus, especially his crucifixion, death, and resurrection from the dead. We hear Jesus talking about the witnessing or the testifying that his apostles were to do in the world in today's gospel from John 15 and 16. Again, words taken from Maundy Thursday evening when Jesus gave so many final instructions to his apostles as they were walking to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he spoke to them in these words about their testimony and how the world would react to their testimony, which is what would make the testimony of the Holy Spirit, also mentioned by Jesus in today's gospel, that much more important. First, Jesus speaks about the testimony of the Spirit. But when the Comforter comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify about me. Again, that title given by Jesus to the Holy Spirit, Comforter, that says so much, comforter or encourager or counselor. He will give you comfort and courage, encouragement and counsel. Also, Spirit of truth, that is the Spirit who guides you to know and to believe and to stand on the truth with courage. Jesus promises to send this Comforter, this Spirit of truth, to his apostles, to his church, after he has gone to the Father. This verse from John 15 is also where we get some of the Trinitarian language in our creeds. The Spirit proceeds from the Father, as we say in the Nicene Creed. That's the image we're given of the relationship between the person of the Father and the person of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit proceeds. He goes forth from the Father. Not entirely unlike the breath that proceeds from a man when he speaks, except that the breath of God is alive, is a person, is able to testify. But Jesus, as the ruler at the Father's right hand, is the one who sends the Spirit from the Father. And so the Spirit is also said, at least in our Western tradition, to proceed from the Son. Just as the Spirit once brought Jesus into the world when the Holy Spirit overshadowed the Virgin Mary at Jesus' conception, so now when Jesus leaves the world, he sends the Spirit into the world. He will testify about me, Jesus says. The Spirit is called by Jesus to be a witness, to give testimony about Jesus. Now, a witness tells what he has seen or heard firsthand. So the Spirit tells what he has seen and knows about Jesus. And what better testimony could we have than a firsthand witness who is God Himself, the Holy Spirit, who is with the Father and the Son from eternity? He testifies. His first testimony was given in the words of the Old Testament. That is also called the witness of the Holy Spirit, since it was given by His inspiration. That testimony about God, about Christ in particular, is written so that anyone and everyone can hear it. But in this New Testament era, the Spirit does His testifying also in the hearts of those to whom He is given. St. Paul writes in Romans 8, "For you," that is you Christians, "you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, 'Abba, Father.' The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." The Spirit reveals to us facts. He revealed to the apostles and to us through the apostles the truth about who Jesus is. Not just the man that they had grown to know over the course of 3 years, but the very Son of God, whose origins are from eternity, and who now reigns at God's right hand. The Spirit's testimony also enlightens as He continually gives the gift of faith, convincing the apostles, and now us, that Jesus is trustworthy, that His word is trustworthy, that we should flee to Him for refuge in the judgment, and that we will find safety in His wounded hands and side. The Spirit's testimony also enlightens as He gives God's children wisdom and patience and comfort and courage, making us certain that Jesus is who He says He is, has done what the Scriptures say He has done, and will do for all who believe in Him what He has said He will do, namely, forgive us our sins, prepare a place for us in heaven, and guard and guide and sustain us through this world until we reach that place. The Spirit will testify about me, Jesus promised. But you also will testify because you have been with me from the beginning. Now notice that these words are clearly spoken not to you, not to me directly, but to the 11 apostles who were with Jesus from the beginning. Always reading Scripture in context, so that we don't just take a verse and say, "See, you were with me from the beginning." That doesn't make any sense in our context. But it does make sense with the apostles, and as mentioned before, even Matthias, who took Judas's place, was chosen because he was one of two men who had been with them from the beginning. The apostles were specially chosen by Jesus to give their firsthand witness of what they had seen and heard from Christ, from his teachings, to his miracles, to his death, and especially to his resurrection. They were eyewitnesses. Nothing less would do to form the foundation of Christ's church, which is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. We talked on Thursday evening about the content of their witness, which centered on Jesus, and the simple promise which they heard directly from Jesus' lips: whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. They were to preach repentance and the forgiveness of sins in Jesus' name. But Jesus told them ahead of time how it would go for them, as they testified. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming when whoever kills you will think he is doing God a service. The Jews, the ones who should have been the very first ones to welcome their own Messiah, would instead be the first to reject and to persecute the witnesses sent by the Messiah. And they would do it all in the name of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They would do it thinking that they were worshiping the God of Israel. Now, that's a sobering thought. It reminds us that sincerity in one's faith isn't a virtue in and of itself. With great sincerity of faith, the Jews persecuted the apostles and the early church. Just as with great sincerity of faith, the Muslims would do the same centuries later. Just as with great sincerity of faith, the Roman church would persecute the Christians who separated from the Pope at the time of the Reformation. Just as with great sincerity of faith, people still attack Christians to this day, thinking they're serving God, or at least thinking they're doing what is right. But the result for those being attacked and condemned and even killed is the same. Why do they do this? Jesus says, "And these things they will do to you, because they have not known the Father nor me." The God who is now worshipped by the Jews who reject Jesus as the Christ, the God who is worshipped by Muslims, the God who is worshipped by those who would excommunicate or kill the true preachers of Christ, that God is not God the Father or His Son Jesus, no matter what they claim. They show by their rejection of the witnesses that they haven't known the true God. As Jesus said to his apostles on another occasion, "He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me." Still, the testimony of the apostles was not silenced, even by their death. It was believed by many before they were put to death, and spread throughout the world by those who believed, so that their own written testimony, the testimony of the apostles, has come down to us in the New Testament. And the proof of their testimony still stands in the little flock, in the remnant that still holds to the apostles' teaching throughout the world. Now, armed with the testimony of the Spirit and of the apostles, you Christians have your own testimony to give in the world. You have seen Christ's baptism applied to you and to others. You have seen His church and heard the preaching of the gospel with your own ears. You have read the primary source of Holy Scripture and you have it to cite and to share. You have the Holy Spirit's own testimony with your spirit that you are a child of God, because you not only acknowledge your sins and unworthiness before God, but you also know Christ as your Savior from sin and from death. Armed with the testimony of the Spirit and of the apostles, live each day as Christians, as witnesses in the world, according to your vocations. Your church membership is part of your witness to the world. Your attendance here at church is part of that witness too. Your words and deeds in your home and in society give a testimony to the world. Make sure it's the testimony you want to give, the testimony God wants you to give. You can't change the witness given by other people. You can't do anything about it when other people tarnish the name of Christ and may even blame all Christians for what only some Christians do. And you can't get rid of the world's darkness. All you can do is be a little light shining where you are. And I promise you, no matter how much the devil rages, no matter how the world gnashes its teeth, no one can put out that light. And somehow, according to the design of the one who reigns at the right hand of God, the combined light of the testimony of all the tiny little lights shining throughout the world will be enough to build and sustain Christ's church until He comes again, so that the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.